Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Talking Rugby Union podcast. It's been a little while since we last spoke. There's been a few games that have happened, but more importantly, there's been some adverse weather that has hit Japan, or is about to hit Japan, in it's been nicknamed Typhoon Haggis, because essentially Scotland could benefit from this typhoon and knock Ireland out of the World Cup, which would be, well, one, phenomenal, and two, probably a bit unnerving for Ireland, actually, thinking about it, because Ireland, of course, losing to Japan, it does put their World Cup future in doubt, as well as make Scotland's hopes a bit more flamboyant. As ever, I'm joined on the phone by Chris Heal, because, well, adverse weather conditions of our own, Chris, have meant that we're just bound to talking over the phone at the minute.
Yeah, it's a busy time, isn't it, Joe, for both of us, but we'll be reuniting next week, so all is well with the world.
Yes, and if we're sounding a bit croaky, that is because myself and Chris have had, I've definitely had a cold. You kind of had the formation of one on Tuesday. I remember hearing you coughing over the phone.
It wasn't great on Tuesday, mate, but I managed to sort of take myself away from any coldness on Tuesday, and I'm back to full strength on Thursday. So hopefully I was supposed to be fighting fit for this classic weekend of World Cup action, Joe. But obviously the weather in Japan has halted the progress of some of the games.
Yes, England's game against France has been cancelled, as well as the New Zealand game against Italy. Those are the two absolutely confirmed that won't happen, and that means that Italy have had a 0-0 draw and England-France have had a 0-0 draw in their pool games. That does mean that Italy are going home, and it also means that they have got that third place in Pool B, which is my pool. The main reason I can be pretty confident is because Namibia and Canada both have 0 points in the pool, which is very disheartening to see, actually. So we're going to talk a bit about the permutations of that, as well as going on to talk about a bit about the knockouts, what we think is going to happen there, and then also a bit of kind of what we expect for the upcoming games, and maybe some of the games that have happened since we last spoke, which I think was last Friday, actually. That feels like a long time ago now.
Yeah, last Friday, wasn't it? South Africa were playing Italy at the time, weren't they?
Yes, they were. That was a good game. Well, actually, no, the red card kind of... the red card was a bit of a killer, to be honest. We watched that, didn't we?
I think we were on air, weren't we, Joe, when we were sort of talking about the upcoming games before last weekend. And, the red card, we saw the red card happen, and it wasn't the best decision in the world from Italy to do that. But, yeah, it sort of killed the game off, and a similar situation happened on there. Well, less than 24 hours later, really, didn't it, with the England-Argentina game, where we all went into the match hoping that this was going to be England's first real test of the World Cup, but then Argentina's red card, I can't remember how early, was it 16 minutes into the game, I think. Ooh, it was.
It felt like that, definitely.
Yeah, just completely sort of took any sting out of the game, and from then on in, I think you knew there was only going to be one outcome, so similar situation happening on the Friday as it did on the Saturday morning.
Yeah, right. Chris, Typhoon Haggis, something like that. What are your main thoughts about the England-France game and the New Zealand-Italy game being called off?
I think, first and foremost, there's a lot of talk on Twitter about, fans have travelled so far to watch England versus France. They're probably saved up, and it's been something they've had in the pipeline for 2-3 years since the World Cup draw was made. So they're obviously going to be disappointed, but you have to look at it from away from the sport and spectacle, away from a rugby's perspective, I think, Joe. You've got to sort of look at the situation. I mean, I've never experienced any sort of extreme weather that's going to be hitting Japan over the next 24 hours or so, but reading the reports and seeing all the people talk about it, it sounds like everyone's been told to stay indoors, and I think that shows the severity of it, so it has to be the right decision for England and France's game to be called off. I think, England will probably have no qualms about that, maybe. Finishing top of the pool, which is what they wanted to do. They picked up a couple of injuries. Finopola getting injured against Argentina, so they're probably more time for him to get back fit ahead of the quarterfinals. So I don't think either side will have any complaints with New Zealand. Italy, again, New Zealand wanted to finish on top of the pool, have done. Italy have that sort of mathematical slim mathematical chance to qualify. So they may have thought, you know, let's get this game played. But I think from a health and safety sort of view, it's the right call to cancel those games on Saturday.
Yeah, I had a quick texting exchange with Seb Negri to say that I was disappointed not to be able to see him play against New Zealand. And he said it's kind of been a bit of a weird feeling because as much as... It's difficult to explain. They understand completely the severity of the situation and the need for them to be safe. But at the end of the day, those guys want to be there and competing in the World Cup against the world's best. And also, unfortunately, this does mean Sergio Parisse's kind of World Cup sagas dating all the way back to 2003 is over kind of with a bit of a whimper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so the South Africa game didn't go according to plan for Italy at all, and I mean, would have been disappointed, I think, with the way the game went. So for someone like Sergio Parisse to bow out with Italy ending on such a negative note after starting so well in their pool and having sort of the showpiece game, as you quite rightly say, Joe, against the world champions, would have been the perfect way to end. But yeah, that's sort of disappointing, and it sort of sums up a sort of disappointing campaign for Italy in terms of they wanted to try and challenge themselves against the tier one nations against South Africa. They didn't really do what they probably wanted to do, and they're not going to have the chance against New Zealand tonight.
Yeah, well, sorry about the drilling noise, Chris. Fun fact, someone flooded my next-door neighbour's house, so they haven't taken down all the plaster, so that's what all that's about. So, it's all fun and games here. Sorry about that, mate. So, the dog's bloody loving that I'm moving around. It's all a case of player welfare, and it's completely understandable. But the one that's kind of hanging in the balance currently and still, even after probably, it's been probably 8 or 9 hours since the announcement, is that the Scotland-Japan game may be postponed, but it's unsure as of right now.
Yeah, it's still in the balance. I think the last thing I read, Joe, was there's going to be an announcement on Sunday morning, so we probably expect something in terms of our time to be maybe announced around 1 a.m. potentially in the morning, or maybe sort of midnight or even late on Saturday night our time. It's such a the problem is, you know, you look at England and France and you look at New Zealand and Italy, and yes, Italy would have thought, yeah, we've still got a chance of qualification, but those games don't have as much riding on it as Japan, Scotland. And there's so many different sort of ties to this game. You know, obviously Scotland loses to Ireland, their World Cup qualification is literally hanging in the balance because they're third in the pool as things stand. You've got Japan, who are the host nation, who have absolutely lit up the World Cup, their own World Cup, after that victory over Ireland. And it's such a big game, and obviously for Ireland it's a big game, as you said right at the top of the podcast, Joe. Scotland have tweeted, didn't they, this morning, they expect contingency plans to be put in place to enable Scotland to contest for a place in that quarterfinal, Joe. I think a lot of talk has been said, can they not move it to Monday? Can they not move it to maybe even Tuesday, if it is going to be affected? Because at the end of the day, I know player welfare and the health and safety of everyone in Japan is paramount, but for a World Cup qualification for either Scotland or Japan to miss out on qualification due to a 0-0 draw because of the weather is massive. You know, you train for 4 years to get to this stage, and for either one of those sides to miss out because they can't actually contest their final pool match to get into the quarterfinals would be such a heartbreak. So I would say, we need to be sort of flexible and say, right, the game can't happen on Sunday. Are Scotland or Japan okay for a 3 or 4 day turnaround if we play it on a Monday or a Tuesday ahead of the quarterfinal? But it has to be played. And health and safety does come first, but if there is a way they can get the game on, I think it has to happen, Joe. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, because of the permutations to the pool, as well as I know this is kind of maybe a more of a closed-minded way of looking at it, but it is also the host nation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, imagine the effect it has the problem is Japan will... I think Japan go through, don't they? If it is a draw, Japan go through.
Let's take a little look.
Because, you know, Scotland can only go through. Let me have a look.
I think Scotland can only go through with either... Well, they'd need...
They need Ireland to lose.
Yeah, they need Ireland to lose. And if they were to get a losing bonus point, I think Scotland would go through. Actually,
yeah, if Ireland lose and the Japan and Scotland game doesn't happen, both Japan and Scotland would go through and Ireland would go out.
Wow. Yeah, that's not what you want to be riding on when Ireland are playing Samoa.
So it obviously benefits Scotland a lot more than it does Japan. Japan will go through regardless if the game goes ahead. If the game doesn't go ahead, Japan will go through. I think that's right. I hope I'm right when I say that. So in a way, yes, the host nation, they want to see their side progress as far as they can, and they've done so well at this World Cup, and it's really ignited the World Cup for them. But yeah, I think Scotland will want the game to happen more than Japan will, even if that's a question.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Well, obviously, since we last spoke, we've seen England beat Argentina 39-10. We'll talk more about that game in a second. But I think it might have been yesterday or the day before that we saw Scotland win 61-0 against Russia. So it would be fair to make the suggestion that they're definitely gearing up to this game, and it would be massively disappointing for them not to be able to play it.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Joe. They are gearing up to the game. They knew after Ireland what they needed to do in order to, get the World Cup campaign back on track. Then they probably would have witnessed Japan beating Ireland, which made their World Cup qualification to the knockout stages even tougher. So Scotland knew they had to go and pick maximum points up against Samoa and Russia. They've done exactly that, and it's been since they lost to Ireland, whatever it was, nearly 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Scotland have been gearing up to this game. It's all been the talking pool there. You've seen all the big pool matches that have happened since then, since that game that Ireland lost to against Scotland. But this pool match has been the one that's been highlighted pretty much since that opening weekend. So, like you say, for Scotland, they will be desperate to get this game on. And like you say, if it can be, on Monday or Tuesday, I think Gregor Townsend will snap World Rugby's hand off to get this game done, because Scotland will be desperate to get the result against Japan and then sort of reset themselves and go into those quarterfinals hoping scores an upset.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that Japan are doing so well at the minute is because they backed up that win against Ireland with a 38-19 victory over Samoa at the City of Toyota Stadium. Now, I have to confess, I didn't watch that one because I was so disheartened by England's game against Argentina, despite England winning 39-10.
Where to start, Joe? I think we'll probably go into the England game and what we said before, that the red card sort of killed the game off for South Africa in Italy, and I think it killed the game off here, didn't it?
Yeah.
England, for all, all I talked before the tournament about, right, they're ready to go now, 3 wins from 4 World Cup games. They've gone into the group pool stages and fully expected to beat Tonga and USA. They did exactly that, but this was the first test. Argentina, despite them not playing particularly well in the lead-up to the World Cup over the last year and a half, this was their big test. And so for England, and I think I got the sense when I was watching sort of the national anthems, how loud the Argentina fans were in the ground.
Yeah.
They've absolutely belted out the national anthem. You got the sense that, right, they're really, really up for this. They know this is their cup final, so England will be tested. And for the red card to happen so early on in the game just killed off any sort of hope I think Argentina had. I think England would have beaten them anyway,
yep.
But it would have just made it a bit more interesting, Joe. So it's going to be interesting now for England, obviously, with the France game being called off on Saturday, whether they're going to be undercut or whether it's going to be use this rest period to really recharge themselves for that probable quarterfinal against Australia all week on Saturday.
Well, Eddie Jones thanked the typhoon gods earlier today, as I understand.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He just said maybe someone's smiling down at us. Probably the typhoon gods.
He's obviously not pleased, but he's more than happy to feel right. Get a 0-0. Stay top of the pool and get a quarter final against Australia most likely. So
yeah.
Like I said before, their aim was to finish top of the pool. They've done that regardless of whether they play France or not.
Yeah, Australia had a rocky 45-10 victory over Uruguay. Sorry, I think Uruguay scored the first try. Oh no, they didn't. That's completely inaccurate. Basically Uruguay had a pretty good game against Australia, with Australia having two men in the bin in the first half. As we said previously, on Saturday the 5th of October, Japan beat Samoa 38-19. I think the most important thing for them in that game was the bonus point, which meant that they kind of took a bit more control.
I was going to say that, Joe. You said that before, that China are in this great position, but that bonus point has really got them in such a good position where by now, that if this game doesn't go ahead against Scotland, that's why they're in such a good position to go for it. Greg Townsend was obviously, I think it was his press conference on Monday, was it? I think Monday. He was obviously not particularly happy at the fact that Japan were allowed to score that final try. Yeah, it was a massive, massive moment in the World Cup, and that's the position Japan are now in, and it's a position Scotland will be hoping they can have an impact on Sunday, but if not, the start of next week.
Yeah, on Sunday the 6th of October, New Zealand beat Namibia 71-9. That was another one that I missed because I was so disappointed with the day before, really, to be honest.
New Zealand ran away with it, but it wasn't all straightforward and plain sailing, was it?
No. Namibia scored the opening points. In the second minute, Damien Stevens, their fly half, kicked a penalty. But then some 3 minutes later, Sevu Reese was over the try line. And then from there, New Zealand scored some class tries in this game. I don't know if you've seen the highlights.
I saw TJ Panarara's try. Oh. What a try that was.
That's why he put two scrum halves on the bench, apparently.
Well, I remember in the last pod you said, why has he got two scrum halves on the bench? That's the reason why. Score tries like that.
Oh. Brad Webber, two tries against Canada or whatever it was, and then TJ Panarara basically playing fly half, replacing Jordy Barrett, the fullback. Oh. I'll tell you what,
Jordan Barrett had quite a solid game at fly half as well.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 conversions.
There you go. The strength and depth they've got, isn't it? It's ridiculous. I know we hammer home, always talk about it, but it's just ridiculous who they can bring off the bench and play so well. But New Zealand have done exactly what they need to do without having to play Italy. So they're looking very good, aren't they, Joe, for them? And no disrespect to, if Ireland do top the pool, it's going to be maybe Scotland or Japan who go through from Pool A. But I do think New Zealand are probably looking at the quarterfinals, semi-finals now, rather than the quarterfinals, which is first up, because I think they'll fancy the chances of sort of getting into the last four, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, of course. France beat Tonga 23-21. In Kumamoto Stadium, I did watch this game.
It was so France, Joe. It was so France. Incredibly inconsistent. Tonga looked like they were going to come back into the game and maybe completely shock France. And again, all the talk was like, well, what have England got to worry about? But I think you made a very good point in either the preview podcast we did, or it was the first one after the tournament started about France. We said, do you think they're prioritising something else? And I originally said no. But looking at the way they've been playing and hearing sort of some of the comments made by journalists who work in France and sort of looking at sort of the headlines in the French newspapers, they seem to be quite happy of getting through the pool stages, getting to the quarterfinals. And if they do get beat by Wales, who we expect them to play, that's fine. Because they've got a young team and they're looking to build away from sort of this side they've got now and build towards 2023 when they host the World Cup. So I generally think they'll be happy not to have played, they might not be happy they've not played the game, but they're thinking, oh well, we finished second in the pool, we got through to the quarterfinals, we'll give Wales a go, let's see how we get on. It's that sort of mentality, and I think they're just happy with what they've done so far. They're ticking boxes, Joe, and that's it for them at the moment.
Yeah, I do actually remember some aspects of this game, and I do remember thinking, why did I turn on the rugby again? To be honest, I think I'm getting a bit rugbyed out, to be honest, Chris.
You can never get rugbyed out, Joe.
Apparently I can.
Not at this stage of the season.
2 months in or whatever it is.
Two months in. Yeah, but it's all kicking off. You've got the World Cup, Premiership next week, National Leagues, University Rugby. Bad time to get a second rugby job.
Uni Rugby. Oh, I miss Uni Rugby. South Africa the next day, or oh, I'm sorry, 2 days later even, beat Canada 66-7. And, yeah, I can't really ignore this one. Canada looked abject. Who looked really good in this one? Cobus Reinach. Oh my God, Cobus Reinach, Chris. Did you see the the wheels?
Unbelievable try! What a piece of skill that was! I think it's just amazing that they've got Fafner Klerk, who's obviously number one choice, but then he can bring someone off the bench like him.
Apparently, he's referred to as the third choice scrum half.
Incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. You know, one of the Prem standout players last year is just. That was exactly what, you know, we saw on a week-in, week-out basis pretty much in the Premiership last year, wasn't it? But that try was just... I know people... I've seen some people, Joe, and you probably won't like this on Twitter, saying, well, it was only against Canada. Oh. But who cares? It was a piece of individual brilliance.
He was going down...
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
He was going down the right wing of Jeff Hassler, who used to play for Ospreys, signed with Quins before... Well, just not wanted to do it and starting a fishing company before coming out of retirement again less than a year ago. And he's back.
So there we go.
Red card in this game. Josh Larson, who was an early replacement at lock, was
a red card, wasn't it? Yeah.
I remember watching it because the referee went back to that one. I was watching it. As soon as I saw it, I said, "Well, I shouted, that's not good." And less than 2 minutes later, he was off the pitch. So it wasn't a massive surprise. But he went back into the changing room afterwards to apologise to South Africa and Thomas Dutoit. And I did a tweet about that, and it's about 350 likes now.
Oh, decent.
Mate, influencer.
Social media influencer.
What can I say? That's why I did the Looseheads video. But we'll talk a bit about that kind of at the tail end of the podcast. Also, Matt Heaton, former Talking Rugby Union interviewee, former player for Darlington Moden Parks, just been announced that he's joining Rugby ATL in Major League Rugby. Congratulations to him for scoring his first test try against the Springboks. There we go.
Yeah, well received by Darlington on Twitter, and I'm sure a lot of people at the club will be talking about it this weekend. Yeah, brilliant achievement for him, and you know, you always hear about these stories the commentators come out with, Joe, but you know, you found the story early last season that this guy was, you know, potentially in the reckoning to play at the World Cup, so for him to get his first try and against South Africa is a moment he'll never forget. So he's probably had some high points with Darlington in the past, but I think that just about tops it.
Yeah, probably. And it's always nice to hear the commentators referencing your articles as basically their main chat about an individual player. Anyway, move on. A day or so, Argentina beat the USA 47-17. Argentina obviously trying to just get a win back after the showing against England, which wasn't any good for them at all. I'm trying to see who scored for the USA. Blaine Scully twice, Paul Lasicke. No former interviewees there, Chris, and definitely none with Argentina. A day later, Scotland wins 61-0. Adam Hastings having an absolute worldie in the first half, as I remember. Sorry, carry on.
No, Joe. I was just agreeing with you, mate. No, he's brilliant, wasn't he? I think, you know, he's obviously, we're still talking about and waiting to hear the decision of whether this game's going to go ahead or not on Sunday, but he would have done himself any harm, would he? I know he's probably getting into that match day 23, and if things aren't going particularly to plan for Scotland, Townsend will have no fear of bringing him on to try and change the game, because he was absolutely excellent in that first half.
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately, Russia just haven't really... Well, they showed up for that first game, which was the opening game of the entire tournament. And then since then, they just look basically like they've been shattered, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a lot of people saying afterward, Joe, that it's one game too far for them. Yeah. You know, they put all their efforts, especially in that opener against Japan. They were really strong, and they have put a great account of themselves against Ireland as well. So I think it was one game too far for them, but they've really left a mark on this World Cup. I mean, you know, a lot of people completely sort of ripped them off after losing to Jersey and Connacht and the build up to the start of the tournament. But they've got some really good players who have shown what they can do, and I think it was Nick Mullins, I think he was on commentary for that game, and he was saying, you know, expect some of these players to be possibly playing in this country, in England, over the next year or two, because they really did give it their all. And you've got to give credit to Russia, because I mean, they didn't qualify automatically didn't qualify through the usual route, did they, for the World Cup. So, you know, they've come in and they've had a very tough pool with the host Japan and alongside Ireland and Scotland, and I don't think they've, you know, not done the chances of any harm of progressing on from this, so you've got to give credit to them.
Yeah, and I don't usually do this, but I am going to aim to get in contact with Vasily Artemyev, the fullback and captain for Russia, over the coming days. That's news for you as well, Chris, so there you go. There's your exclusive for the day.
Decent, mate. No, look forward to that one.
Yeah, well, hopefully it comes off. It's going to be a sly LinkedIn job. Hopefully that gets done on Monday or something like that. Wales versus Fiji. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, some game. I mean, it was going on during the Clean Rooney, Rebecca Vardy fallout on Twitter. So during the first sort of 10 minutes when Fiji had scored twice, Twitter was obviously talking about the game, but Clean Rooney and Rebecca Vardy, sorry, were taking over the headlines. So the...
Where's Gavin Henson when you need him?
Yes. So, but for the game itself, you texted me before saying it should be a cracker. I wasn't too sure what to expect, really, because, you know, Wales knew the job they needed to do, and Fiji was so poor against Joan of Hawaii, and, you know, they were expected to beat Georgia, but Fiji came flying out the blocks. And to score those two tries, I think, really sort of the first shock of the tournament for Wales, really. They had to sort of regather themselves and go, hang on, lads, you know, this is one of the strongest teams we can put out. We are going for a World Cup. We need to sort ourselves out. And they managed to do that before half-time. Josh Adams dusted himself down from getting absolutely crunched for the first two Fiji tries and scored two of his own before half-time. It took for Wales to lead, but their slow start happened exactly the same in the second half. Fiji came out firing, deservedly took the lead with a penalty try. But then they started to tire like they did against Australia, and Wales just managed to turn the screw, and Liam Williams' score was a turning point, really. It was a bit of a relief for them. Josh Adams' try was a bit of a relief for them, and then Williams topped it off in the end. But Wales would be very pleased to get the job done. It was far from pretty for Warren Gatland's side. They had to come from behind. I think the negative for them was Dan Biggar's going to miss Sunday's game against Uruguay, and I think we're still awaiting news on Jonathan Davis's injury.
If Jonathan Davis is injured, that would be the worst news. He's one of the best outside centres that I've ever seen play.
He was very, very impressive, wasn't he, in the lead-up to Josh Adams' third try yesterday. So that's the only negative for Wales, but they've been tested. You know, they've been tested against Australia and they've been tested against Fiji. And you look at some of the other teams like England who haven't been tested, and you sort of think whether that's going to work in their favour or not. But this Wales team, they are fully ready to go. I think they've been tested against Australia and Fiji. It looks like they will play France if they get the job done as expected against Uruguay on Sunday. So they'll be going into that France game, and their route to the sort of final is a lot easier than the other half of the draw. Not a lot easier, but more favourable to the other half of the draw. So Wales will be in a good place going into that quarter final. I think is next Sunday morning. It would be against France.
I think all the games are on I'm just trying to work it out. All favourable kickoffs actually from this point onwards as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I think England's quarter final next Saturday morning is a 8:15, isn't it? And then and then there's a bit later on the day. I think maybe like 11:15 might be the second quarter final, and then the Sunday I think is a 9:00 start, and then maybe half eleven. I'm not too sure. There's no 5:45. Kick-offs and 5:15 alarms anymore, Joe.
Well, even though I'm not working any of the games this weekend, I'm still going to be up at 4:15 to watch Canada take on Namibia.
Wow, nice dedication to watching your country at the World Cup.
Mate, what can I say? I'm a patriotic man. And if everything goes wrong with Brexit, I have my other passport. So it's just got to, you know, make sure I know all the words to the anthem. But let's look at the remaining fixtures of the pool, of the pool stages, I suppose. Australia versus Georgia, I'm going to say Australia by, 20, something like that.
Yeah, you expect Australia to get the job done. Obviously, with that win, they'll go, if they do win, let's not disrespect Georgia, but if they do win, they'll go with a bonus point, they'll go 2 points clear of Wales. So Wales just needs to get the win against Uruguay to finish on top of Pool D. But anything less than a win for Australia against Georgia, Wales will be qualified as group winners before they even play against Uruguay. So, we'll expect Australia to get the bonus point win there on tomorrow morning.
Ireland versus Samoa is the following day. It's the only game on Saturday now after having three on each day. I'm just looking at the matchups here, and I'm just going to look at the fullback. Jordan Lama opposite Tim Nanai Williams.
Big old battle, that, isn't it? Mm. Big old battle. We know the significance on this game now for Ireland due to the impact of the typhoon on the tournament. But, Joe Smith was at his press conference today, and he was talking about the players need to focus on the game. They can't focus on what might happen with Japan and what might happen with Scotland. It's about time. They think right now it's our time to focus on ourselves, get the 5 points, get it done. Because, I mean, that was their sort of task, wasn't it, against Russia, to get that 5 points. And it sort of laboured to it. So I think what they'll want to do is put in a similar performance to the one Scotland put in against Russia and really come out, get to score on the board as early as possible, and then they can relax and enjoy, sort of make the changes they will need to make ahead of potential quarterfinal with New Zealand or South Africa. Fully expect Ireland to get the 5 points on Saturday. I think Robbie Henshaw is back for his first game of the tournament, I think. I saw the retweet before on RTRU of Ireland Rugby's Twitter. So fully expecting to get the job done on Saturday, Joe.
Yeah, looking forward to that one, but I do feel tremendously sorry for Gary Ringrose. The next day, Namibia take on Canada, so Canada are going to win that, end of. USA versus Tonga is not so long after that. Hopefully one of those... Well, it'd be good to see those sides kind of taking on each other, because they've both had pretty... Well, not miserable times at the World Cup, because obviously Tonga got that bonus point loss to France the other day. So Tonga will be feeling pretty good, actually, I imagine. It'd be just... Well, I just want to see the big hits, to be honest. That's kind of why I'll be tuning in for that one.
Yeah, I think both sides will want to try and, if you know, it's a dead rubber, isn't it? If they want to, want to talk about it and try and give some viewers something to look forward to. I think both sides will go out and enjoy themselves. So that's sort of an entertaining aspect of it. I think Fiji is so entertaining in themselves, so we know what to expect from them. But I think because they didn't really have much riding on their game against Wales, we saw them really explode into life, and USA and Tonga will just try and put on a show to end the World Cup on high, because they don't mean the world to them if they both get a victory to end the tournament. So I know it's not probably the game of the weekend, but certainly one to watch.
Well, I just had a thought to see if one of them could maybe finish third, and then boy was I wrong. Wales play Uruguay after that. Even though the Uruguay story, them beating Fiji, has probably been my highlight of the tournament, it just seems that, Wales are going to have a bit too much.
Yeah, I expect Warren Gatland as well to make a few more changes than he did for the Fiji game.
Yeah.
I think I said on the last pod that I thought he'd make a few changes to the Fiji game. He didn't. He went strong, but it makes no sense to start some of the big guns, especially after Dan Biggar's injury and Jonathan Davis' injury. He won't want to risk any more of his key men getting put on the sidelines. So I think Wales will make a few changes for that. They, again, very similar to Ireland. You fully expect them to get the job done and get the 5 points in. For Wales, they'll finish on top of Pool D, which is a brilliant achievement for them, because it was always down to how they were going to get on against Australia. And they always knew as well, finishing second in this pool was likely to play England in the quarterfinals. So it's such a more favourable route for them into the knockout stages if they do finish on top of Pool D. And I do fully expect them by sort of midday on Sunday to be on top of Pool D and booked a quarterfinal against France next Sunday.
And then the final one, which is probably penciled in at the minute, is Japan versus Scotland at the International Stadium, Yokohama. I think we've talked enough about that one, Chris, but I'd expect Japan to win.
It's such a tough one to call, because if we know what Scotland can produce, we've seen it definitely at the last World Cup, we've seen it even as early as recently, sorry, is the Six Nations, where they were brilliant against England in the second half at Twickenham. But I think I have to agree with you, Joe, because the way Japan have come into this tournament, you know, they got the first win against Russia on opening night, and there were a few nerves knocking around, but the way they played against Ireland and the way they battled to that bonus point win, controversially or controversially or not, against Samoa, they've really, really performed well. They haven't scraped their way through this pool stage. They've not hung on and been lucky with some of the results. They haven't had sort of that miracle moment against, as they had against South Africa in Brighton 4 years ago. They are a team that fully deserve to be in the quarterfinals. And I know from a Scotland point of view, and I know contributor Gary Heatley will probably not like me saying this, but I think Japan will get, if the game does go ahead, I think Japan will get the job done and progress to the quarterfinals alongside Ireland.
Yeah, so the way that we have a pretty good idea what one of the quarterfinals is going to be, which is going to be England versus Australia. And then the other one, I think, we know definitely one of them is going to be New Zealand, and they might be against either, I'm trying to think, Scotland or Ireland at the minute. Or it may be even Japan, the way that pool's going, to be honest. Then the winner of Pool D, which is probably going to be Wales, will be against the runner-up of Pool C, which will be Wales versus France. That'd be a good little tie, actually, I think.
Yeah, it should be at least one match.
And then the winner of Pool A, which could be one of Ireland, Scotland or Japan, against the runner-up of Pool B, which has been confirmed in South Africa. So, it looks like, as much as there is a very exciting weekend of rugby to play, there are some dead rubbers, unfortunately. But it will not stop our enjoyment of the Rugby World Cup this weekend. And I think that's all of our Rugby World Cup chat for now, Chris.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, the weather has dictated this one, Joe. They would have been looking forward to such a big, big weekend and seeing England's first test and discussing who Eddie Jones has picked for this final game. But yeah, that's where we're up to at the World Cup at the moment. It's unfortunately the way the pool stages are going to end, but we've got such a fascinating week to look forward to with the quarterfinals only, 9 days away now?
Yeah, it's mad how quickly it's gone, and there's still a couple more weeks of massive encounters to come. Now, some people might not be aware that today is World Mental Health Day. We've done some stuff with Loose Heads in the past, and we're going to be doing some more stuff with Loose Heads next week. We're going to be meeting up with their ambassador, Nikki Cowell, who plays for Sale 1861. Please say I've got that right, Chris.
Yes, you have.
Oh, brilliant. Of course, women's rugby is the fastest growing form of the game right now. We now have a women's rugby columnist in Kate Older, who will be offering her thoughts on women's rugby every month for the rest of the season. Many thanks to Kate for coming on board. I'm just trying to think what else to say. So, yeah, we're going to be meeting up with Nikki next week in one of Chris's locals, basically. And we're going to be doing kind of a podcast, kind of a video. We're basically trialling out a new kind of idea of a new content idea that we've been kicking around with, I think, for probably 6 months now.
Yeah, it's just, I think we've started to get our way into video, Joe, haven't we? So, we've done obviously videos ourselves. We've had a lot of TRU guys on the videos as well. But yeah, it's going to be great to sit down with Nikki, have a good chat about her involvement with Loose Heads and sort of women's rugby in general. Because as you quite rightly say, Joe, we've had Kate Older come on board this week with us, and we've had Gary Heatley's article with Lisa Martin, and you're looking ahead as well to the Autumn Internationals, which the Red Roses will be playing. So looking forward to speaking to Nikki, and hopefully the video will go down well.
Yeah. We had Nolly Waterman as well yesterday, didn't we?
Yes, yeah, completely. You know, so much women's rugby content, Joe, to keep up with.
Yeah, so that's one of the most important things. But of course, what we will say is, because it is World Mental Health Day, it's okay not to be okay, and what could all make the difference is someone just asking you, how are you today? We very much hope that everyone does ask the question, try and make sure to talk about mental health to make it less of a taboo. And if you want to learn more about a charity that we quite like, that does a lot of stuff for mental health issues and kind of tackling the stigma, so to speak, is Loose Heads. And you'll be able to find their website fairly easily. It's Loose Heads, spelt with a Z, essentially, at the end of it. Chris, you know Rob from your days in South Manchester. You've done a podcast on it as well. I mean, what's kind of the main attraction for you with that podcast? With that charity, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Rob since we were at school. I mean, Rob's a couple of years younger than me, but he was, you know, one of the one of the leading players for the school when I was there, and he's part of Wilmslow Rugby Club, was not too far away from me. He's also a Liverpool fan, which helps our connection even more. I got in touch with Rob, and just thought, I think there was a lot of talk around mental health a month or so ago. And I thought we'd mean, you know, Joe, you went down to Worcester, and we spoke to Danny Solomona about sort of his involvement with mental health, with the mental health organisation, Lou says, and I think together me and you decided, let's try and do something with mental health a little bit more, because it's such a talking point now, generally, but as well in sport, it's a massive thing in sport now, especially rugby, and I thought, you know, with Rob, knowing Rob as I do, I thought, let's get in touch with Loose Heads. And, you know, I sat down with his dad, Mark, who's one of the other guys who was who came up with the idea of Loose Heads when they were at Wilmslow Rugby Club. And I think coming out of that podcast, and I learned quite a lot about exactly why, you know, Mark and Rob and the other guys involved decided to set up Loose Heads, and how much work and time and dedication that they're putting into getting people more aware of mental health, but also getting, you know, some of the big names in rugby involved. You know, you've got the likes of the guys at Sale, I said, Denny, you've got the James brothers who do so much, you've got Tom Cruise at Wasps, I mean, Cal Brady's over in Russia at the moment, but he's still doing stuff for Loose Heads. You know, Darrell Hanscom's been on board this week as well, so sort of the reach they're getting is unbelievable, and it's just, right now it seems to be such a topic that gets talked about, so they're doing incredible work, and I think I speak for you as well, Joe, that we're just delighted that Loose Heads are happy for us to keep continuing working with them, because it's such an important message to get out there.
Yeah, completely agree with everything you've just said there, Chris. So yeah, as I said, it's okay not to be okay, and please do talk to your friends if there is anything worrying you. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else we're doing, Chris. NCA podcast back next week.
Yeah, we are in talks with a club. We are hoping to, Joe, I don't know whether we'll want to announce this now, but we are hoping to get down to Bishop Stortford to link into sort of the mental health stuff we've been talking about. To go down to Bishop Stortford, obviously to talk about the National League season, because we haven't done one since the opening weekend of the season, sort of when we were at Preston Grasshoppers, and we want to take the pod on the road, to a trip down south is probably overdue. We're talking to Dan Elson, who plays Bishop Stortford, who's massively involved with the November campaign, which the NCA this week announced that we're very much going to be part of the November campaign this year. So we're encouraging players, clubs, teams, fans, whoever, to get involved with November. And if you got whoever listened to this, create your own page on November.com, and you can then join our NCA network, and you can raise money in whatever way you like, whether that's like Joe's going to be doing, he's going to be growing a moustache, or you do club events, raffles, ticket donations on the day, all drinks behind the bar go towards November, anything like that. It's just a fabulous course to get involved in, because it's not just men's mental health, it's men's health issues across the board. So that's why the primary reason we're going out to Bishop Stortford next week, to speak to Dan about that and get some more information on that and promote what we're doing with November over the next couple of months. So, but also, like you say, Joe, it's about time we did a National League podcast. So I'm looking forward to getting our team stuck into that one next week.
Oh, it's been a long time. It feels a long time ago that we were at Preston Grasshoppers, when it was actually relatively warm. I was in shorts. I could stand outside at 7 o'clock at night and not shiver. Now I'm going to have to be in jeans, about probably two jumpers and a coat.
So I'm looking forward to first trip to Silver Lake. So the club are looking forward to us coming down, so it should be a good one.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. So I suppose that all that's left to say is, Chris, what are your social media handles and where can people find you?
If they want to, that is.
No, they have
on
to.
Twitter, C _ Hill, and exactly the same on Instagram.
So many people have liked that tweet I did the other day. I'm surprised people don't know. But it's at JoeHarvey34 on Twitter, Instagram, and my Facebook page, actually, as well. You can find Talking Rugby Union at Talk Rugby Union on Twitter, at Talking Rugby Union on Instagram, and just type in Talking Rugby Union on Facebook, as well as LinkedIn, actually. You should probably plug that a bit more. It's pretty easy to find us across all those social media platforms. Just trying to think what else there is to say, really. If anyone would like to sponsor this podcast in the near future, or the NCA podcast, I think one of the ways we're thinking about doing it is breaking it down into sections to talk about different aspects of rugby that Talking Rugby Union cover throughout the season. So if you would like to get in contact with us, we can, of course, discuss sponsorship packages. What else is... I'm trying to think, what else... It's such a busy time, Chris. My mind's so befuddled.
I think we've covered everything, haven't we, John? I think we've gone through everything in terms of what we're cracking on with over the next couple of weeks. So, obviously, we'll be producing more podcasts and hopefully a little bit more video as the World Cup goes on. So, yeah, busy times, John. I think it's all going to obviously come to a conclusion with the World Cup in November, but that doesn't mean the rugby stops. The Premiership will be well underway by that point. And, yeah, looking forward to sort of the festive season of rugby as always.
Yeah, so... Thank you very much for listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast. If you would please, please give it a like and a review or a rating and a review, whatever it is, down below. That would be much appreciated because it does help us with getting a bit more coverage. Although we do understand if you have not got enough time, because a lot of people actually will be driving when they're listening to podcasts. So please don't do that. That would be really irresponsible of us to ask for, really. And I'd feel quite bad. If we were the last thing you heard. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast. There'll be another one in the coming days as we maybe either preview or review the quarterfinal stages of the Rugby World Cup. It's been an interesting 3 weeks so far, and there's still a bit more rugby to be played. But thank you very much for listening, and I'm sure you'll hear us next time.